Now, we're joined in the studio by Colin Davidson from St George's University of London. John spoke about identifying the chemical composition or fingerprint of these new legal high substances that are found in club amnesty bins, for example. And your role, Colin, is more to find out what these drugs actually do in the brain. So how do you do that?
I work quite closely with John. He's just along the corridor, and I used to work on just methamphetamine and cocaine, and then met John and he started giving me all these completely new compounds. I test them out on pieces of rat brain. So we want to see whether they have stimulant effects, whether it looks like cocaine, whether it looks like amphetamine.
When you say that you're looking at a rat brain, how exactly are you doing that?
Without going into too many details, we'd kill a rat as quickly and as humanely as possible, and we take what's called brain slices. So they're 0.4 millimetres thick, and I try and incorporate parts of the brain that I'm interested in. In this case, it's usually a part called the nucleus accumbens, which is the main brain reward pathway, where the, I mean, your listeners have probably heard of dopamine as a neurotransmitter. That's the neurotransmitter most involved in addiction and any rewarding activity like eating or sex. So I've got my little brain slice that I can keep alive in an artificial cerebrospinal fluid. It gets oxygen, it gets glucose, it can stay alive for up to 12 hours or more. And I give it a small electrical stimulation to mimic an action potential, which is what happens in the brain. The small electrical activities cause release of transmitters. So I mimic that in this little piece of brain and measure transmitter release. And then obviously I'll take a few measurements, add the drug, whatever drug I'm looking at, and see if it increases or sometimes decreases the amount of transmitter I'm getting out. And that's a very good indication of whether it's got addictive liability.
So what kind of thing would you see if you added, for example, illegal drugs like cocaine or amphetamine?
Well, cocaine would increase the amount of transmitter that comes out by about fourfold, so that the actual amount that comes out is higher and it hangs around for a lot longer. One of the first legal highs I tested was something called Ivory Wave that I got from John Ramsey. I actually found that to have a larger effect than cocaine. Wasn't really expecting that. Cocaine's such a great compound at doing this. Amphetamine and amphetamine-like drugs, and we haven't mentioned methadrome yet, which is the most famous legal high. It seems to be a bit like amphetamine and ecstasy, but they can cause transmitter release without action potentials, which potentially makes them more dangerous, I think, because it's been shown that amphetamine and methamphetamine, these types of compounds, actually cause neurotoxicity in animals. There's a lot of animal studies on that, and I did some of those in when I worked in America. But also it's been shown quite recently that human methamphetamine, amphetamine addicts do have problems with their brains. There's brain lesions and very long-term problems after using them.
So it's causing cell death, these nerve cells, to actually die.
Especially in the dopamine system. And, you know, a long time ago it was hypothesised that this cell death might lead to early onset Parkinson's, to go back to what Chris was talking about earlier. And the recent research has suggested that that is true, that the people who were taking amphetamines or methamphetamine, you know, 10 or 20 years ago are getting early onset Parkinson's more often than you might expect.
And what about drugs like, for example, benzofury has, I believe, been on the scene for quite some time now, and it seems to be very popular and it's legal at the moment.
Yeah, I was at a conference yesterday in Bath, actually. It was one that John Ramsey was organising, the SUPROF, the Sewage Profiling Conference, and someone gave a talk there and mentioned that benzofury is actually one of the most popular drugs at the moment. It's been actually associated with two or three deaths quite recently. But it seems to have both stimulant properties, so like cocaine or amphetamine, but also has LSD, you know, trippy-like properties, so you get a double effect from it. And my colleague James Moffat has shown it's very potent vasoconstrictor, so it's going to give you hypertension and potentially cause other cardiovascular problems.
You mentioned that agent has this hallucinogenic property, but obviously you can't tell that from a slice in a dish.
Well, we know that LSD works on the 5-HT2A receptor, so a little bit of protein in the cell membranes. But I mean, it's obviously got a normal physiological function, but this is the small protein that LSD and, you know, these hallucinogenic drugs actually attach to very strongly and stimulate and cause things to happen inside the cell. So We've shown, and I've got a colleague at Roehampton University, Jolanta Packer-Jeffrey, who's shown that benzofury binds quite strongly to the 5-HT2 receptors. I'd also say that you can also get hallucinogenic effects from these psychostimulants, and back in the 60s, a lot of people who took amphetamine were misdiagnosed as being schizophrenic. So if you get massive releases of dopamine, it can cause you to have hallucinations and act like a schizophrenic. So these drugs, like the one I mentioned earlier, desoxypiperidol, which is very potent, has actually caused these sort of effects in abusers, and they've done some crazy things recently.
What about working out whether or not these drugs are toxic? Because by measuring the nerve transmitters coming out, that tells you something about what they're doing to the brain. But what about going back to your earlier point about the fact that they will do damage potentially? How can you tell that from your slice experiments, can you?
Yeah, I've got a method to measure mitochondrial activity. So one of the ideas is that some of these drugs might mess up your mitochondria. And for your listeners, mitochondria are the small things inside your cells that produce energy, ATP. So if you run out of energy, the cell dies. And that's been shown for methamphetamine and amphetamine. It can cause damage to neurons, probably by disrupting mitochondria. So I've been looking at some of these new legal highs using this mitochondrial stain in brain slices. But the ideal thing to do would be to try some long-term studies where you might dose an animal with one of these drugs for a few weeks, then see what effect it's had. That's the best way to do it.
So, Colin, once you have this data about how these compounds might affect the brain in terms of causing cell death, addiction, and also have psychoactive properties, then what do you do with this data? Who do you tell, and then what happens? What's the next step?
Well, typically we try and publish it in a good journal, but that's quite a long process. So, you know, we always try and disseminate the data to the appropriate people, and I have given some talks to the ACMD, the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs, who would inform the government whether they thought something was dangerous or not. I give talks to various scientific meetings and so on, and get the data out there to the people that need to know.
So I guess in general, you work out how these things work, and that informs the reports that John's able to do as well, because he can say, we know what the molecule is, and Colin has told us vaguely what it's doing to the brain, and then hopefully also get a publication out of it. Thank you very much, Colin Davidson.